And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the first ever edition of WSHS Sterling High School Radio's The Blue Line, where we talk everything hockey. Rob Strauss alongside John Flacco, the Flockinator, as he's known. No?
Yeah, that's kind of old school.
Right? Old school?
You got to move on a little bit. Change your guard around.
Change it up a little bit. But we are going to give you 1 hour, or roughly an hour, of the best hockey talk. And what better time to do it than the eve of NHL playoff 2012. Lots of matchups to talk about. We're going to talk about the East. We're going to talk about the West. We're going to get our predictions in. But we're actually going to start in the Western Conference, and a conference that we don't get to see a lot of, being on the right coast here. We don't get to see a lot of the matchups, but here are your matchups. The number one seed and President's Trophy winner, back-to-back years, the Vancouver Canucks taking on the Los Angeles Kings. That's a 1-8 matchup. Flacco, your thoughts on that matchup?
Well, you know, traditionally you would think Vancouver, with the season they had last year, come trying to bounce back from disappointment in the Cup, that you would expect them to have a nice charge coming into playoffs, but they're a little nicked up with Sedin. You know, Sedin's been back skating a little bit, but, you know, coming off the injury, he's probably not 100%. So that's definitely going to slow them down a little bit.
And definitely, you know, the injuries, they also went 7 games, I believe, in their first 2 series last season in the 2011 Stanley Cup playoffs. And it had a lot of the Vancouver fans very, very nervous. Only one of 2 Canadian teams that are in the running for the Cup this year. So obviously the pressure is very much on them. Got to the Cup final last year against Boston and losing in Game 7. I don't think anybody was going to beat Tim Thomas last year, and it's kind of unfortunate that the Cup did not go back home to Canada, but a very strong matchup. You have the Sedin twins there, the LA Kings just scratching and clawing to make it in the playoffs that last day, practically.
Yeah, I think the Kings thought that they were going to move in the right direction, getting Mike Richards from the Flyers there, but that didn't turn out the way they thought it would. I think they kind of miss Wayne Simmonds a little bit, seeing how well he did over here on this coast. The Kings are kind of a cyclic team. They're up and they're down. They can't seem to get over that hump. But I think the Canucks are so polished at this point that as long as Luongo is not, blowing up and being the head case that he usually is, they'll be fine in the first.
Well, you also have Corey Schneider as his backup, who could be a number one really anywhere else. Very strong net minding. So even if Luongo, and I think this is what they did last year, they went to Luongo. Luongo started looking really, really bad. And they're like, you know, let's go with Schneider. And they went back and forth. They finally stuck with Luongo. But it's kind of a very tough time for Vancouver Canuck fans when Luongo wasn't playing well. But this year, I mean, it just seems like they're just – we don't get to hear a lot from them because we're on the wrong side of the country.
Yeah. Games start way too late for me to stay.
Yeah, 10:30 is insane. But nonetheless, I think Vancouver's got a great matchup here with the LA Kings, and they actually have an all-Flyer line there with Carter, Richards, and Gagne. It's like where all the ex-Flyers seem to go.
And Carter's just coming back off an injury, too, so that could be tough for them.
It'll be interesting, and it's you know, Mike Richards hasn't been the same since his concussion in December, and most players aren't, and that's a big focus this season is on the concussions. And, Jeff Carter found his way to put 46 goals in the net on the second line. So, I mean, he's doing pretty well there. So that's the 1-8 matchup in the West. And now we're going to move on to the number 2 seed, the surprise team of the entire NHL this season, coached by a former Flyer coach in Ken Hitchcock, who's actually up for the Coach of the Year award, going to take on the number 7-seeded San Jose Sharks, a perennial playoff team. It seems like they're always there, always very highly touted. And what are they going to do this year?
Well, you know, with Hitchcock, his MO is to take these underachievers and kind of get them to overachieve. And, his track record is pretty good, except that just like with most coaches, it tends to fizzle out. That message gets old. I think with St. Louis's thing is that they're just really riding some really good goaltending right now, and they're getting hot at the right time, which is always a good formula to do well in the playoffs. You know, sometimes that's not enough to get you all the way through, but like it was for the Flyers a couple of years back. But, you know, if you have that good goaltending, sometimes just good things just seem to happen. So, you know, they're in a good spot. I think the Sharks are – as much as they've been doing well the past couple of years, I think they're kind of reaching the end of their streak here. So, I can't see San Jose upsetting them unless something happens with the goaltending for St. Louis.
And speaking of the goaltending, you have Brian Elliott, who's backstopping the Blues right now, an Ottawa Senator castaway, and it seemed like in the offseason, who's this Brian Elliott guy? This guy's been lights out all season.
It always seems to be one guy like that, just some goaltender who's another team castaway, and all of a sudden just comes into his own and finds the right spot and just does well. Sometimes that's a one-hit wonder kind of thing. These guys kind of fizzle after time. But sometimes you find a good goaltender just in the right spot, maybe the right defensive scheme or the right defenseman.
Shame the Flyers can't find somebody like that.
Yeah, if there was a formula that was out there, then Holmgren would pay somebody to get that formula because he can't figure it out. I think a lot of teams have that problem, too. I mean, not everybody's going to be Henrik Lundqvist,
Yeah, and we've talked about this off air, and there's really only a handful of solid number ones in the entire league. A lot of people go back and forth between different goaltenders, and if you're not a Brodeur, you're not a Lundqvist, you're not a Luongo, a Pekka Rinne, which another guy that came out of nowhere in the last couple of seasons and down in Nashville, and we'll talk about Nashville in a moment, but Brian Elliott comes out of nowhere and just backstops this Blues team who just really, like we said, came out of nowhere. And I don't think really anybody predicted them to be in the running for the President's Trophy for the best regular season record. But they came out of nowhere and gave Vancouver a run for their money.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with St. Louis is, and I mean, they're good in a spot that they're coming up and people weren't really expecting, like you said. Not a lot of people know them. I haven't really seen too many St. Louis games this year. Again, being the Central West Coast teams they play. But, like I said, if it's you have the right goaltender in the right spot, and, they're in a good spot where they have home ice for their first round, so that could be good for them. It's a tough travel for San Jose, for St. Louis.
That's absolutely.
That's not a short bus series like Philadelphia, Boston, or Philadelphia, New York.
Yeah.
So that could take its toll, so. You never know.
The Sharks lost all four games against the Blues this season by a combined 9-3.
We know that means absolutely nothing when it comes time.
Means nothing
to
when it comes to playoff time, but the numbers kind of speak for themselves. And Brian Elliott had two wins, only allowed two goals in those two wins. And Yaroslav Halak, another send-off goaltending-wise from the Montreal Canadiens, also had two wins. And only gave up one goal. So a combination. They have two solid goaltenders in net here. And it just seems like the San Jose Sharks have their work cut out for them. But they do have a lot of scoring on this San Jose Sharks team. And Ryan Chloe, you have Logan Couture, who's had a great season. And you can't forget about Pavelski. And he's still floating around there somewhere. And he's a beast, even though he's scoreless in the series. So it will be a very, very good series for that. Antti Niemi is going to be backstopping the
Didn't he just win a Stanley Cup not too long ago?
Yeah, I think against some other team. Yeah. I don't know. Some local team. He's got his own cup. And Thomas Greece backing up Antti Niemi. I don't think we'll be seeing too much of him unless it gets ridiculously out of hand. So that's your 7-2 matchup in the Western Conference. Now, moving on to the more, I think the 3-6 and the 4-5 matchups are always really, really, really good. And you have a very odd matchup here in Phoenix at the 3 seed, the Pacific Division champion against the 2010 Stanley Cup champion, Chicago Blackhawks. And that will be an interesting one.
Yeah, I think the Blackhawks are in a bad spot here right now because they got Taze, who's been coming off a big injury, and goaltending is not their strength. I mean, Flyers cast off right. I mean, if you're a cast off from the Flyers as a goaltender, that doesn't say a whole lot for you. There's been a lot of them.
Well, yeah, Bouch went to Phoenix. I mean, we bring up Phoenix. Went to Phoenix, and then he has the all-time
but Flyers goalies,
shutout record.
It's all relative. It's all relative. There's only two goaltenders in the history of the Flyers organization that really command respect around the league.
Perron and Hextall.
Yeah, well, that's all there is. I mean, everybody else is, we got everybody else we've had. We've had Van Beesbrouck, but he was at the very end of his career. A respectable goalie, but
was
not.
Was that before or after he went to the Rangers?
That was after. He was – we got
he
him.
He was in Florida. He took Florida to the Cup.
Yeah.
And then I believe 94.
Yeah, so that was even
early mid-90s.
Because I don't think he went anywhere after the Flyers. I think he was pretty much done after that.
Okay. I didn't know
he may have went to another team, but he didn't play.
Progression of John Van Beesbrook.
Yeah.
The only NHL player in history to have to use all five vowels in his name. That's a little.
That is a tidbit I was not aware of. Thank you for sharing
that.
Yeah, I learned something new every day.
Look at that. And plenty more to come here on the blue line, of course. But a great matchup here. I don't think these guys have ever met up in the playoffs, at least in the first round. Chicago and Phoenix. Usually it's like Detroit, Phoenix, or you know something like that. But now you have Phoenix. Yeah. As the three seed winning their division, taking on Chicago Blackhawks with just a lot of really good young talent. They've kept the core of that team together, even though they blew it up after they won the Cup. They still have Taze, Sharp, Kane, Duncan Keith. Mm-hmm. Marian Hossa is still doing his thing.
And the core is still there. It's just they just need the right pieces, in the right place. Goaltending was something that was strong for them the Cup year because that was something they weren't lacking. The things with the Coyotes this year is they're young teams. They're probably inexperienced. So this is probably a spot that I would probably look for an upset as far as the first round goes based on experience. But the thing with Phoenix is, they kind of like added it by subtracting. They let Brzgalov go. Which, that could be good or bad depending on how you look at it. It seems like he had a little shaky relationship with some of his teammates there. Although he did carry a large load there. He goalied most of the games. But I think them just jettisoning that and kind of looking to, I guess, just stay young. No real names on that team coming up. But, yes, here they are in third place and have a home playoff series. So, it helps when you stop worrying about, your coach, whether your coach is gambling or being arrested for gambling.
Well, I think it's more of a thing of also of how much longer is that team going to be there? I mean, this is a big series, playoff series or playoff run for the Phoenix Coyotes just as a franchise. Because I know when everybody talks about, which team, how can hockey survive in Phoenix? And if you look at some of the attendance ratings, it's really not that good. You look at the Islanders, it goes Islanders, and then Phoenix, and the attendance just is not good there. And you'd have to think if they go deep, maybe Western semis, deep into Western semis, or Western Conference final, you would have to think that that would be a great thing for that franchise. Any franchise that'd be good for, but especially for Phoenix, where they it's in the rumor mill that they're going to be moving somewhere else.
Yeah, and that could always happen. I mean, we had a team in Winnipeg, and then we didn't have a team in Winnipeg, and now we've got a team in Winnipeg.
Back in Winnipeg.
I think hockey kind of fell into the same line as all the other pro sports team and looking to expand, and really they're just expanded out too far. I mean,
it's a big push for that in the mid to late 90s. You look at some of the baseball teams that expanded too or moved. Football did it with some of the teams like the Houston Texans came into play. The Oilers moved from Houston to Tennessee, and now you have. Baseball did a ton of it with adding the Marlins and I don't understand how that team draws, but that's another show.
I think Phoenix actually might outdraw the Miami Marlins.
I wouldn't. You know what? We'll keep that going. We'll see. We'll revisit that in a couple weeks and see how their attendance goes. We don't like to talk about the Marlins on the day after they beat the Phillies in their home opener, but we'll get to that later on.
And you were there, right? How good was that?
I was. It was windy.
Yeah,
that's all I have to say.
That's the best you can say for that day, right?
That's the best I can say about that. But again, looking at this matchup, you have they met four times during the regular season. Chicago won. They are 1-2-1 against the Phoenix Coyotes, which I guess bodes well for the Coyotes. If you're a Coyotes fan, Jason LaBarbera and Mike Smith for the Phoenix Coyotes. Again, talking about replacing Brzgalov, who had a stellar season last season with the Phoenix Coyotes. And now you're looking at the Chicago Blackhawks end of things. And, John, you mentioned the goaltending. You're going Corey Crawford and Ray Emery.
Yeah, like I said, Ray Emery, Flyers cast off, has found a little bit of a niche. He's not the the prospect they want, thought he was when he first came up. But he's, you know, he's, I think after being back in the league a couple of years and kind of get his personal things straight, he's becoming a sort of reliable goaltender, not a standout goaltender, but a reliable one. So, you know, what they say, if you have two goalies, you have none. So when it comes time for the playoffs, it's whoever shines the best, is that's who you ride, and you hope for the best, because the switching and the situational stuff never works in the playoffs. In the regular season, you can get away with that, but not
and the Flyers are, and we'll get to the Flyers in the Eastern Conference in the next half of this broadcast, but the Flyers have been doing this for years and probably like the last 15, 20 years, going back and forth with their goaltenders, and they've never had a solid. Heck, the last year they had three of them. So a lot of that was because of injuries, but still, you had three goaltenders, and now you're like, okay, it's hard enough to juggle two, let alone three. And I would imagine you're going to see Mike Smith in net for the Phoenix Coyotes and ex.
I got two words for you. There,
Tampa Bay Lightning.
Robert Esch.
There you go.
All nice. Right. Well, that's all that needs to be said on that subject.
Solid. And then I imagine on the Hawks end of things, you would probably see Corey Crawford in net for the Chicago Blackhawks. So an intriguing matchup there is a 3-6. And we'll finally get to the last series of the Western Conference matchup. And this is probably the most talked about one on the Western Conference side, as it is on the Eastern Conference side. In Detroit, the 5 seed taking on the upstart Nashville Predators, and Barry Trotz is coaching him up. He's coaching him up. He got back Alexander Radulov, an absolute stud for the Nashville Predators, and you have to think that he's going to play a factor into this.
Yeah, you know, with the Preds, you know, they got a lot of young players. They're getting good goaltending this year. The defense is solid. You know, when it comes time for the playoffs, if you have a couple guys who can just stand out in front of the net and you can have solid defense, all you need is one guy or two guys who get hot who don't normally score, and you can really kind of ride that kind of wave. On the other hand, you know, Detroit Red Wings, the experience is there on that team. They're getting healthy. Having Howard back in the net is a big plus for them. I think that's something they really struggle with, throwing kind of slide towards the end of the season. You know, Pavel Datsyuk is one of the most skilled players in the league. A guy I really admire. And, you know, when he gets off or he gets moving in that kind of playoff kind of mode and he has room to skate, you know, they could be a deadly team. Then on the other hand, they're the type of team that can go out in the first round. You know, I can't remember how many 8-1 matchups they've had where they've been sitting at home playing golf after the first week. So it's tough with this Wigs team. I think they're going to strive on the adversity they had at the end of the year. That'll help them be a better team instead of kind of coasting into the end of the season in first place like they usually are for the past 20 years or
so. You have to hand it to the Detroit management. I mean, just year after year after year after year, you always see them in the top 8. They always make the playoffs, if not the top 3 in the Western Conference.
And I think
when you think they keep getting older, they have this like fountain of youth there that they just keep. You're like, oh, you can't. Nick Lidstrom again.
Yeah, the guy's ageless, right?
That guy is ridiculous. That guy is probably like the last 5 seasons. We're like, oh, Nick, you're gonna hang it up? Nope. Yeah, look at Chris Chelios.
He was going back to Europe about 10 years ago, right?
Hey, Chris Chelios played until he's 46 or something.
Well,
he's
another story.
Oh my god!
But yeah, I think what the credit to them is they really know how to scout in Europe. I mean, they've had some European players that just super skilled players have come in and played well. I mean, you look at their rise with Steve Yzerman as a captain as a rookie way back when, and then, you know, when he left, you thought, oh, no Yzerman. You know, they had Shanahan there for a while, and you think, oh, these guys are all aging, there'll be a drop-off, and then here comes Franzen and Datsyuk, and you know, like I said, Lidstrom never really just went away, and these guys are just right there every year. You know, they've gone from a Hall of Fame coach to you know, young guys, and still keep going. But like I said, I think the difference this year is the adversity they face at the end of the season is really going to focus them and help them be prepared, at least for the first round matchup, knowing that Nashville is going to be a team that they're not going to overpower and score a lot of goals on, especially with Shea and Weber back there on those back lines with Renna playing well.
And you have to also think this is the first time I think Nashville has actually hosted over Detroit. They actually own the home ice advantage, which again means nothing in the playoffs, at least in the NHL playoffs anyway. So you have to
Although the Wings are 17-21-3 on the road this year, that's not a good road record for a playoff
team. Bodes
well
for Nashville. Yeah. I mean, considering you have the four games, if it goes to a game seven, it will be in Nashville, and those fans are ridiculously insane down there. You wouldn't think of all the hotbeds of hockey for fandom, if you will, that Nashville is one of those teams. And from all the reports that I've seen and read and everything, that Nashville is just – their fans are rabid. They love the hockey down there. So getting Radulov back was very, very big for them. David Legwand and Andre Kostitsyn are going to play a big part in that. And, of course, Pekka Rinne, the focus is going to be on him. These teams split the regular season series three games apiece, and it will be interesting to see. I think that's going to be the greatest series to watch. If there is a series to watch in the West, that is the one, because that's one that will probably start at 8 o'clock, which is – just about an hour before your bedtime there.
Pretty much. Yeah, it's going to be a barn burner, Strauss. So keep your DVR set, because I think we're going to see a lot of highlights on ESPN coming off of this one. I mean, you know, it's going to have it all. It's going to have the defense, the goaltending, the offense. You're going to have the hitting. They're going to have tight games. You might predict an overtime or two in this one, too. And most likely.
Talk about a four overtime.
Maybe not that far, but most likely a game seven we're going to see in this one here.
Nice. I like it. Well, that's going to wrap it up for the Western Conference matchups. We're going to get off to a very, very quick break. When we get back from the break, we're going to go over the Eastern Conference, something we're a little bit more familiar with because, well, we live on the East Coast.
That's
so
true.
It makes it a little bit easier. Lots of really good matchups, and we'll talk about those matchups right here on the Blue Line. You're listening to WSHS Sterling High School Radio right after this.
Stratford Fire Company is looking for students who are interested in joining their junior member program. The junior member eligibility ages range from 16 to 18 years old. If you are interested or need additional information, please contact Chief Gagliardi at 856-783-1649. Please leave a message with your name and telephone number or stop by the fire station located on Laurel Road in Stratford to pick up an application. You can also visit their website at www.stratfordfire.com.
Do you need to take the SATs? To register for the SATs, go to collegeboard.org to sign up for the following dates: November 5th, 2011, December 3rd, 2011, January 28th, 2012, March 10th, 2012, May 5th, 2012, and June 2nd, 2012. The SATs on March 10th, 2012 will be given at Sterling High School. If you have any questions or concerns, contact the guidance office or visit collegeboard.org.
Welcome back to the Blue Line. Rob Strauss alongside John Flacco, bringing you the first ever installment of the Blue Line. We're right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio, where we're going to be giving you 1 hour of the hockey playoff preview. First round starting tomorrow, Wednesday night, the 11th, and a lot of really good matchups we discussed in the first segment on the Western Conference side. Now something we're a little bit more familiar with, just for proximity purposes, the Eastern Conference matchups, as we take a look at some of those. The New York Rangers, who won the Eastern Conference about a couple points away from winning the President's Trophy away from Vancouver, will take on Ottawa Senators, the second Canadian team in the mix. The number two seed, the Northeast Division winner, Boston Bruins, reigning Stanley Cup champions, are going to take on a pretty disappointing Washington team who needed some help at the end of the season to even get into the playoffs. And then you have the three seed, the Southeast Division winner, the Florida Panthers, making their first playoff appearance in over a decade, will take on the New Jersey Devils as a six seed. And the big matchup, which we're going to save the best for last here, and obviously because it's local and it's probably the best matchup in the entire NHL first round, the Pittsburgh Penguins taking on the Philadelphia Flyers. But we're going to start at the very top of the pyramid here with the New York Rangers and the Ottawa Senators. The New York Rangers coming off one of their best seasons ever, probably since their cup run of 94 when they Mark Messier and Brian Leetch and Jeff Bookaboom and the boys, Adam Graves, all those guys went on to win the Stanley Cup, their first in 54 years. And taking on the Northeast Division Ottawa Senators coming in as the 8th seed. And, John, I mean, we were just talking about this before we even went on air, and that this is not going to be an easy series for either team.
Well, you know, the Sens beat the Rangers three times this year. So, that bodes well for them. I mean, the Sens can score. They're coming off a hot streak. The difference in this series, I think, for them is going to be how well they play defensively and how good their goaltending is this time of year. I mean, with all playoffs, you look for the team that comes in hot because they tend to ride pretty far in the playoffs, and it's a good position for Ottawa to be in that eighth spot coming against the Rangers. I think the Rangers, have just been so dominant all year. They're the type of team that if you can score a couple quick goals on them early, you can make them scramble. You make Lundqvist think, like you said, you get in their heads, you make them try to play catch-up hockey, which is not their game. I mean, their game is to score a goal or two, make Lundqvist make some good saves and kind of just beat the other team up and tire them out. So, I think it's going to be a much closer matchup than the 1-8 says it should be, even given how far down that Ottawa finished in the year. But like I said, Ottawa is just on fire right now, and that's the best thing for them to be in, especially an offensive-minded team like them. You're scoring a lot of goals. That's what you want to do in the playoffs. But playoffs, you don't score as many goals as you do in the regular season. Defense
tightens
on the rules. So we'll see. I think it's an interesting matchup.
Yeah, it's going to be a very, very good matchup. And looking at the stats of these two teams, I mean, they're very, very evenly matched. And the Rangers come in averaging 2.8 goals a game. Ottawa's 3 goals a game. Goals against the Rangers, 2.3, obviously because of the sparkling goaltending from Henrik Lundqvist, who's probably going to win the Vezina Trophy this year. No. I mean, I don't think there's anybody even remotely close.
It'd be a crime if you don't.
Yeah, it's grand larceny if they don't give him the Vezina Trophy. Ottawa comes in and just averaging a little bit more, about a half a goal game more at 2.9. Power plays, and the Rangers' power plays was 15.7%, good for 23rd in the league, and Ottawa Senators 18.2%. But again, you can throw all those numbers out the window because now everything's back at zero again, right? And who's going to come in with the hot power play? For Ottawa to win this series, I mean, you got to look at the Norris Trophy, who's probably going to win the Norris Trophy this year, and Erik Karlsson. 19 goals, 59 assists for 78 points for this defenseman, and that's just a... And again, if he doesn't win the Norris Trophy, something else is wrong.
Yeah, I mean Norris Trophy, traditionally, you're going to have the guy who's out there and the leader of scoring. Other defensive skills kind of get overlooked with the Norris, but that's just kind of, it's always been that way.
Also known as the Nick Lidstrom Award.
Yeah.
should rename it.
Yeah, really. I mean, it's unbelievable that the type of offense this team has this year. These type of teams, I mean, you look at Washington a few years back. I don't know if that's a good comparison, but those teams don't turn out to play those types of ways when it comes to the playoffs, especially against a really good defensive team like the Rangers. The Rangers block shots. They got good goaltending. I mean, you really got to work hard to get your goals, and I don't think that a team like Ottawa, if they get down, and, they're dangerous, but, they start scrambling and that's not the type of way you want to play a 7-game series. I mean, for one game, that's fine. But a 7-game series, it's hard to win that way.
But I just think that the goaltending of the Rangers and Henrik Lundqvist, and I know the Flyers and their fans have seen this so many times, 6 times this season actually, that Lundqvist has just stood on his head and just absolutely just taking control of games. And this is finally the season, I think, where the Rangers are starting to put things together as a team. And, they picked up Marian Gaborik a couple years ago, and he wasn't, last year, what they thought he was going to, he was injured. And finally this year comes out with 76 points, 41 of which came by putting the biscuit in the net. And so he's having a fantastic season.
He's a sniper.
He's
a sniper, that's for sure.
Ridiculous. And he's quick. Ryan Callahan, quietly, a captain on that team. Which,
you know, he's a
look at all the captains in the Rangers history. Obviously, most notably Mark Messier. You look at some of the captains who have gone through there, and it just seems like Ryan Callahan is like square peg in the round hole kind of thing. He doesn't seem like that guy, but apparently he is.
He's an old school captain. He's Dave Poulin. You know, he's the type of guy. He's a leader. He's a hard nosed player, and he's the type of guy. You know what? If he was on the Flyers, he would be he'd be the number one guy on that team. He'd be Bobby Clark. Like Clark would be, have his arm over his shoulder all the time, talking about old school hockey and cycling in the corner and all that kind of stuff.
I just think that the Rangers have everything finally put together, and I think I still think there's a little bit of nervousness if you're the Rangers because of the way that they've gone out the last couple of seasons in the playoffs. This is the year that they have a great team, and you'd have to think that there's just so much that extra pressure on that, especially in New York. You're playing in the New York. I'm sure Tim Tebow will learn this, but there's so much pressure on them this year to do well because I think these teams don't align themselves together like this very often. And I'm putting the Rangers up on a pedestal, but they are that good.
They are, and they've shown that all year long. They really haven't shown many chinks in their armor all year. The other thing with the Rangers too is given that, like you said, the pressure being in New York and being that you got a coach like Tortorella. I mean that only goes so far. I mean he can't ride that team like that forever. If you don't win now, you'll get to the point where that's going to become old. And a guy like Gabrick, he's kind of fit in great this year, but if he hits a skid and Tortorella gets on him, you can lose him. And if you don't have him this year, I think that's a big difference for them. Having that one sniper that can get him a goal in a tough spot and take over a game when they needed to is something that they didn't have before. Like you said, Gabrick was hurt last year and all that kind of stuff. But having that this year and having him at the top of his game really helps them get over the edge with a defensive-minded team they are. So, it's a win-now type of team, but like you said, it's kind of like karma. Everything's kind of come together for them. So let's see if that carries through the playoffs, though, because we all know playoffs are the second season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of it comes down to coaching as well. Matchups, as we mentioned a lot, the matchups of the two teams, and these two teams pretty evenly match, and this is one of the rare 1-8 matchups where the lower seed actually has a better record. And you mentioned this when we first started this segment, is that Ottawa owns them this season, three games to one of the few teams in the league to beat the Rangers a number of times. So it's going to be a very interesting matchup. And I want to pick your brain on this a little bit. Towards the end of the regular season, there's the Rangers-Penguins game. Tort went off on called the Penguins gutless and got a nice hefty $25,000 fine.
Well, I was lobby to call them gutless, but Tortorella had
Right. I mixed up my
Atlantic, Italian American coaches.
But Tort went off on the Pens and their management and their team and their whatever. Was that fine warranted? $25,000.
No, I think that fine was ridiculous. I mean, he's not saying anything that hasn't been said before. It's a bad spot when you have an ugly game. I remember looking at the at SportsCenter and all that afterwards, and they were talking about the number of penalty minutes and said, 58 penalty minutes. I'm thinking, I remember a Flyers game where there was 200 penalty minutes a couple of years ago. I mean, it was pretty ugly at the end given the situation. But those things have to turn up every once in a while. Sometimes teams just don't like each other. So, or coaches don't like each other.
Usually you're not going to see 200 penalty minutes in a playoff game.
No, not in a playoff game.
But regular season is a totally different story. But I just don't think what he said was any worse than, what any other coach would say against any other team. I think he's emotional. You're catching him after a game where he didn't know the condition of Prost after he got that knee-to-knee collision. I think it was Brooks Orpik that hit him knee-to-knee. I believe it was.
You mean Grossman?
No, I'm talking about the Rangers.
The Rangers game. I believe that was Orpik.
And no fine for Orpik, but $25,000 for spouting his mouth off and just speaking his mind after the game.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know what these NHL traditionally their upper management is really not. They're really clueless about what's right in the sports world, and they try to follow the lead of other professional leagues, and they just don't get it that they're a different animal. They can't just follow along and expect everything to be the same.
Maybe they're trying to make a statement with this, saying that, you know, you can't, you know, if you want to go off, don't go off with, you know, a bunch of microphones sticking in your face so you can, you know, it'd be a great matchup. And we're going to talk about matchups a little bit later on. A Rangers-Penguins matchup as like a rematch of that whole regular season finale kind of thing.
I'd like to see that. I wouldn't like to see that, but...
Well, I know you wouldn't like to see it personally, but...
Not my first option, but if as a second option, I'd like to see that. Just
from a watchability standpoint, would be fantastic.
That game would be on NBC every night, and all the other games would just be designated to
that.
NHL Network.
So the 1-8 matchup, Rangers and Senators is going to be a very, very good matchup, according to you. So now we're going to move on to Northeast Division champion Boston Bruins, reigning 2011 Stanley Cup champions, taking on a Washington Capitals team that, out of nowhere, I mean, a lot of people preseason picked the Capitals to just run away with not just the Eastern Conference, but also the entire league. They had everything all set up. They finally got their goaltender in Thomas Vokoun, who they traded for in the offseason. However, it didn't start very well in Washington at the beginning of the season.
No, I think there's a hidden element that maybe people in Washington would know this better, but there's something there with the coach that they started the season with and just their whole approach to the game. You know, people thought, oh, they're trying to build this team for the playoffs now. They're not going to be the high-scoring, you know, Wild West type of team they were before. Now they're going to be better built for the playoffs. And, you know, people weren't ready for the drop-off to try to get into that mode, and got the coach fired. I think there's a lot of other things going on behind the scenes that got the coach fired. But, you know, then here comes Dale Hunter, not one of my favorite NHL players.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah. You know, in the beginning, I thought, well, this is going to be a disaster because they were terrible when he took over. But I think they're kind of buying into whatever system he's selling them. I don't know if that system's going to be good enough for them to win in the playoffs right now. But, you know, maybe in a couple of years it might be. You know, they get the right pieces in there. They get Ovechkin in a position where he's comfortable. He can be, you know, Ovi of old. And then maybe they can be. But not this year.
You know, when Washington, towards the end of the regular season, was on the cusp of not making the playoffs, they were dipping back and forth between Buffalo and Ottawa and Washington, going back and forth on who's going to take that eighth spot. And with about 2 weeks to go, they found themselves out of the playoffs by a couple points. And it just seems like Ovechkin just kind of turned up his game. And you didn't see that from him. If you look at his point production over the last few seasons, he was in the hundreds. This is an off year for him at 65 points. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to call that an off year, I mean, most there's probably a handful of teams, half dozen teams in the league that would love to have a 65-point producer.
Yeah, well, when you're looked at as one of the best players in the world at one point, 65 points is an off year. So
yeah.
Expectations dictate that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that had to do, I guess, with the coaching. You know, getting Bruce Boudreau, getting fired. I believe that was in November.
Yeah, that was early in the season.
Early in the season, got fired, and then all of a sudden Dale Hunter comes in and kind of takes the reins, and they've maintained, let's put it that way. But I think this is a very dangerous matchup for the Boston Bruins. Obviously, you focus on Zdeno Chara and the defense and reigning Stanley Cup champions. Tim Thomas finished the season with a 2.36 goals against average and a .920 save percentage with 5 shutouts. Picking up this is like the ageless guy. Nobody knew who this guy was 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, Tim Thomas was... Yeah, he was an afterthought on a lot of teams.
He was a great backup.
Yeah, he was.
Saw 10, 12 games a year. And
you know, I think as good as those numbers are, he is, again, talking about expectations, he's not Tim Thomas of last year.
No.
I don't think he's going to be good enough to carry them far in the playoffs. I don't see him going far in the playoffs.
And it's hard to repeat as cup champions.
Right. And the other thing you have here is another underdog, 3-1-0 against the higher seeded team this year. So, you know, that's got to be playing a little bit in their heads. I think with Boston, a lot of young players really haven't stepped up into positions where they thought they would be with this team to kind of take over losses of Recchi and you know, players, role players like that.
I like how Recchi at the end of the – when they won the cup, he's like, no, I'm done. Thank you. Drive through.
You can't blame him.
Absolutely not. You got to go out on top.
Tremendous career. So
you couldn't storybook a greater career for Mark Recchi.
No.
I mean, he goes out a game seven winner. You really can't ask for a better career for him. And I can't imagine that I'm sure in some facet he will be involved in a team's front office or somehow in an organization, whether it's coaching or scouting or something like that. I'm sure he'll be involved down the road. But I think what it comes down to for the Caps to pull an upset here is going to come down to goaltending. Vakun's hurt, so now you're looking at who they started Thomas Holtby the other night in a big game with pretty much the season on the line. I think they had already locked up a playoff spot, but they were looking for positioning at this point to try not to be the eighth seed. And after Buffalo was got knocked out with their loss to the Flyers, you know, I think it's going to come down to goaltending, and that's usually what it comes down to in the playoffs. And I don't know if Washington, do they win this series?
I can't see it,
but at the same time, Washington was a one seed last year, and they played Montreal in the first round and lost.
Yeah.
And,
well, like I said, I mean, those teams weren't built for the playoffs. They were good regular season teams, and, you know, they did well, and they scored a lot of goals, and they had a lot of snipers, but you got to be more disciplined in the playoffs, and you got to have the defense there, and, you know, their defensive players are more offensive-minded players, so, you know, that doesn't – I mean, it's helpful to win games, but you got to have the guy back there who's willing to block a shot and be stay at home and not take chances or be smart about when to take chances in a playoff-type game. Ovechkin hasn't had the points season that he normally has, but if he trusts Dale Hunter and he kind of buys into what Dale Hunter is selling them this year, you know, they'll probably win a couple games. Like I said, I don't think they have everything. They have the whole entire package to win right now.
And you have to think of, I mean, there's two teams that can score a lot of goals here. For the Bruins, believe it or not, Tyler Seguin led their team in scoring this year, 29 and 38 for 67 points. And you got Bergeron and Krejci and Lucic all in the 60-point range. Look at Tyler Seguin, a plus 34. Patrice Bergeron, a plus 36. And there's the worst person on their team in terms of plus-minus is David Krejci at a minus 5. And everybody else is in the 20s and 30s. I beg your pardon, Mike Matau. And a minus 11, but I don't think he only played in 35 games. So
yeah.
As far as regulars are concerned, this is a team that just scores a ton of goals. And believe it or not, they're ranked third in the NHL at 3.3 a game. But again, that's something that may tighten up in the playoffs because it's more defensive-minded in the playoffs. But they also are ranked sixth in the league of goals against at 2.5. So now you have a very strong, very good balance of offense and defense for this Bruins team. So I can't see Washington with their giant question in net, pulling a Flyers here.
Yeah.
They don't know who they're going to go with. You would have to think, with Neuwirth being hurt now, who are you going to go with? I mean, who's on your roster now that you can go with to propel you through the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said. You can't have that question mark there this time of year. You got to be set. You got to know your defense, your team has to know what to expect from goaltending and the way things work back there. And you can't go into a playoff series with those kind of question marks. It just doesn't work. You get to a point, you can ride a young goalie. You can ride a hot young goaltender, but he's got to be in place and the players have to know him to feel comfortable with him in net to get going that kind of ride. A guy who's just thrown in, you know, without any experience with the team and system, it's going to be hard for them to, you know, like I said, because of the number of snipers they have and the Ovechkin factor, he may win them a game or two. But boss, like you said, the fact that they have the depth of scoring that Boston does, they're going to be a hard team to beat.
Yeah, and Braden Holtby is going to be likely the starter for Thursday's game one against the Boston Bruins. So they have a couple more days to think about it, but they have just called up Danny Sabourin, who's recalled from Hershey on Monday. Hasn't played an NHL game since 2009. So he's going to back up Braden Holtby. So you never know. I mean, Holtby looked strong the other night against the Rangers, at the Rangers in the regular season finale. But again, you're putting your playoff hopes on a very inexperienced goaltender. I mean, who are you going to take, Holtby versus Tim Thomas?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of
I'll take Tim Thomas.
I think I'll take Tim Thomas, please. Thank you very much.
I'll take Tim Thomas with a broken arm, I think, over that goaltender.
I like it. I like it. That's strong. I guess that kind of ruins your pick for our next segment. The Florida Panthers moving along right now. The Southeast Division champion Florida Panthers taking on the New Jersey Devils, who have not gotten a lot of publicity this season at all, because you're in a division with the Penguins, the Rangers, and the Flyers.
Mm.
And they're kind of the redheaded stepchild in this division here. But if you look at this in terms of toughest divisions in hockey, this has to be the toughest division in hockey right now.
Without a doubt. You have these teams playing each other every week and just battling. Like you said, it's such a high level. You know, when other teams come in, they're not seeing that kind of competition on a regular basis. So they're just not prepared for that level.
Yeah, the Panthers making their first playoff appearance in over a decade. And it's a long time coming for the Florida Panthers and their fans. So having a great season. They got some solid goaltending in Jose Theodore and Scott Clemenson, the Devils' backup. Marty Brodeur's backup for a while, gets down there, plays 30 games, and has a half-decent season. So I think it's, again, who are they going to go with in their first-round matchup? It seems like Jose Theodore, the ageless wonder in net, made his mark in Montreal a number of years ago and then wasn't really able. He got traded to Washington and got bounced around all over the place, and now he's finally found a home in Southern Florida.
The one bad thing about the Panthers is they've gone 2-3-5 in their last 10, and they have not backed into
the playoffs.
They backed into the playoffs, and they had a pretty good regular season. Some players had some career years for them, which helped them get to where they were. But like you said, the goaltending is it's suspect, and the fact that you're not playing well. Going into an experienced New Jersey Devils team, I mean, you know, that management has that team ready to play. So if they get any kind of goaltending on their end, you know, they could be a tough series. I look at this as a series where, you know, you're going to have 2-1, 3-2 type games, and you know, they're going to be close games and a lot of checking and not a whole lot of highlights out of this series. But a tough-fought series that, you know, they could be pretty evenly matched.
I like the Devils in this matchup, and it's obvious. I mean, Devils coming in very, very not talked about this season, obviously because of all the other three powerhouses in the division. But you look at it, the Devils only finished a couple points behind the Flyers in the regular season standings.
For a time there, they were only like a game behind them.
Yeah.
Flyers kind of went on a little run there and kind of put some distance behind
them. Which is not like them, by the way, to go on a March, not at the end of the season. A March run.
Usually March they go backwards, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. But they were there and they were being talked about a little bit, but then they kind of fell off a little there, the Devils. And I think the Devils' lack of name recognition kind of puts them on a back burner.
Well, I mean, you have Kovalchuk, you have Parise and Patrick Elias and a couple. But outside of that, I mean, who else do you have on this team that is recognizable other than obviously the face of the franchise, Marty Brodeur? They got some strong backup goaltending from Johan Hedberg. Brodeur, talk about old, you know, goaltenders that have been around, players that have been around for a while. Marty Brodeur, just when you thought he was going to be like, you know, this is my last season. Nope. I'm going to come back out and post a 2.41 goaltending.
You think he has enough in there to make another run? I mean,
the fact that he's only played 59 games this year, he hasn't seen Marty Brodeur in his prime is playing 70 games.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's one thing that in the past couple of years is that you've seen with him. He definitely played a lot less games. But they never really had anybody behind him that they could rely on.
You didn't need to.
Yeah, which is why they didn't put any money in that position. I think now they kind of have a decent backup for him because they know they need it.
The Moose, Johan Hedberg, is going to back him up. Obviously, the focus is going to be on Ilya Kovalchuk and Eliashin Parise putting the puck in the net and creating opportunities for the Devils. But I think this is a pretty easy series. I don't want to say easy. It's easy for me because I sit at a desk all day. But I think it's a slam dunk for the Devils here. I don't think there's really any issue with this one. The season series split right down the middle. But I think when it comes down to it, if you don't know who, like when you just said this, if you don't know who your number one guy is, then, you know, they have no idea. Florida has still, to this minute, does not know who their starting goaltender is.
Yeah, that's not a good
thing. That's a problem.
Yeah.
That is going to be a problem. So I'm going to say I like the Devils to go far in the playoffs. How about that?
No, that's a bold prediction right there. I don't know if I go as far as that, but I like them in this series.
So you like them in this series. Yeah. So you got them in the Eastern semis.
Yeah, I do. I do. I think, you know, the teams, like you said, the Eastern Conference is – That's where the teams are. I mean, outside of Boston, that little depth they have, you really don't have anyone else built for the playoffs.
Speaking of teams that are built for the playoffs, the final matchup in the Eastern Conference, probably the most intriguing matchup, the most talked about matchup in all of hockey right now, is the 4-5 matchup between Pittsburgh and your Philadelphia Flyers.
That's right, John. 4-for-4 guy, you know me.
I know you are. I know you're 4-for-4 guy. This is going to be a great matchup.
I think it is. I mean, having a healthy Crosby makes a big difference. You know, as much as I hate him as a player, not as a person, I think, you know.
You don't like his on-ice antics.
Yeah, you know, there was a time when I thought Mario Lemieux was like the biggest crybaby in the world. And although Mario Lemieux matured a lot as an older player and
an owner. I mean,
he's
got him a new stadium. He's turned that franchise right around.
First couple of years in the league, all he did was stand on the red line and cherry pick all day long. But he changed his game a lot. He became a more complete player, became the great player that he is. Still not better than Gretzky, but that's another story. Going into this, the first half of the season, as well as they were playing, I was really not enthusiastic about playoffs, looking the way the goaltending situation was working out. I mean, they spent all this money on Brzgalov. I wasn't sold on Brzgalov in the preseason. I thought, you know, I thought Vokoun actually was the way they should have went as far as free agent signing or trying to get a goaltender. You know, I was really happy with Drew last year. I think he's a great player. I think he's an elite player. But Brzgalov has kind of turned a little bit of a corner. And like you said, the Flyers are instead of limping in the playoffs like they have the past few years, they've really kind of turned the team around. They've overcome a lot of injuries this year.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, Chris Pronger makes a huge difference.
Humongous difference, and that guy's just a powerhouse.
The fact that they've kind of held on as much as they did this year in that number one spot without him playing really at all. I mean, he really didn't play this year at all. It is a credit to the rest of the players on this team. I mean, everybody coming in was saying, how's this team going to score goals? They traded away their best two players. But, you know,
it's a risky move. Hearing that on the radio, or getting the text message or whatever, that the Flyers just traded Jeff Carter. And we all kind of knew that was going to be one or the other in the offseason. It was going to be Carter or it was going to be Richards. I don't think anybody in their right mind thought that it was going to be Carter and Richards.
Right.
So something was definitely amiss there, and something wasn't
gelling. Well, we saw this with the Phillies when they had Bobby Abreu. Sometimes you add by subtracting certain personalities on the team, and there was some kind of – I mean, just look at Scott Hartnell. Mm-hmm. I mean, Scott Hartnell played with those guys, and he is a different player. Now, granted, he's playing with two of the best players in the world right now. Which, you know, inflates his numbers, makes him look like a little bit better player than he is. But he is definitely a better player this year than he was last
year. It's career year for Scotty.
Yeah.
It's career year for Scotty. And if I had also told you that, by the way, we got rid of Carter and Richards, but we also got Jaromir Jagr. We're going to borrow him for a year. We're going to pick up Wayne Simmonds. And that's where your scoring is going to come from this year. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you're only going to get 43 games out of James Van Riemsdyk.
Yeah, who was a monster in the playoffs last year.
Yep.
you know, and he won't have him at all. Yeah, you would think this is going to be a reload year and try to
maybe a 7 or 8 seed kind of year.
Yeah.
With the matchups that they have or the players that they have, there's no way that this team doesn't make the playoffs. But at the same time, you got to look at this team. I think they're stacked. And you picked up an ex-Penguin, all the Flyers fans hated, Maxime Talbot, who's actually kind of won over the fans a little bit here.
He's a Flyer type player.
Yeah, he's a gritty, tough player. So he's been a great addition. And again, you look at the injuries that this team has gone through. We all know that I am not a Flyer fan by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm willing to give props where props are due. And this is a solid team right now. And I think whoever comes out of this series doesn't make it past the Eastern semis because they're just going to beat the crap out of each other. And that's just
– yeah, unfortunately.
I think this series goes – if it minimum 6, obviously the most is 7. But, this is going to be a fantastic series to watch.
Yeah. The one good thing is the Flyers are a good road team. So the fact that they have to play the extra game on the road probably won't be in their head. The other thing is you look at a team full of rookies. And again, going back to the earlier this year, all the contribution they were getting from these rookie players, you think, well, you can't count on that in the playoffs because rookies disappear in the playoffs or at the end of the season. They hit a wall and they just kind of tail off. But these guys have gotten better. I mean, Matt Reed has been a consistent player the whole entire year.
He's this year's JVR from last year.
Sean Couturier, I believe, is going to be an all-star. That kid has amazing hands.
When they're in the back of Sidney Crosby?
Well, we'll talk about Sidney Crosby in a second. Let me get to Sidney Crosby, but let me just finish with the rookies. These guys have really kind of just fallen in line and kind of worked really hard. I think Laviolette's part of that. He keeps these guys in shape and focused. And they're making significant contributions right up until the last week of the season. I mean, that's really hard to do with so many rookies and so many spots to fill. Even like Bourdain. For defensemen, it's even tougher, I think, to jump in and be well and contribute and all that. But, when you look at the matchup, I mean, I have no love for Sidney Crosby. I have even less love for Yevgeny Malkin, who I think is
the cheapest
player in the league. Most skilled, probably, but the least respect I have for any skilled player in the league. I have a lot more respect for Crosby than I do Malkin because, I mean, Crosby's talent is far and above anyone else. And anyone who knows hockey can see that. I thought he was getting a little better ever since he came off the injury with the whining and just a constant chatter. But, you see that come out when games get tight.
Right.
Like it did against the Flyers. But Malkin, I wouldn't shed a tear if a truck ran him over the street the other day.
Tell us how you really feel.
He's just a cheap player. And
109 points, 50 goals, 59 assists. And Crosby, since he's been back, averaging well over a point a game. It's going to be very interesting to see how this works out. The Penguins, the number one goals per game team in the league, they're 3.4. The Flyers, ironically enough, are second at 3.2.
But the offensive numbers get thrown out the window in the playoffs.
And if you look shows up.
You look at the goaltenders right now, I'll take Brizgalov over Fleury. Fleury hasn't really impressed me, especially in the games against the Flyers. He's been human. He wasn't Tim Thomas of last year. He wasn't, some other goalies who the Flyers have made look like, Patrick Roy in the past. You look at Lundqvist. That's the Flyers' downfall. As hard as when they play those Rangers teams, and all of them being losses, there have been times where they've outplayed them. They've just dominated, especially in that last game, the beginning of that first period. They were all over the place, and Lundqvist makes a big save. And then the next thing you know, boom, Rangers score a goal, and they're
done.
And that's the Flyers' downfall. They run into a hot goaltender, and whatever mentally there is that causes that, they just close up in their shell. And, Fleury's not going to be that kind of guy in the series, I think. I think you could see that. with Lundqvist. I think you could see that with Tim Thomas. But I don't see it with Fleury this year anyway. I mean, in the past it has been
Fleury. So it'd be a great matchup here either way. I mean, it's definitely going to be the most watched. I'd love to see the TV ratings on this one.
Yeah, I think like I said, NBC or NHL Network, whoever is covering this game versus whatever it be, this is going to be
it's
the game
goldmine.
They're going to look to cover the most, especially after coming up that game a couple of weeks ago with the fights. Mm-hmm. And
that series will kick off Wednesday, April 11th at 7:30, probably on the NBC Network. I think all of their games, the NHL games, are on some type of NBC type.
Got a game on CNBC late night on Thursday. That's Sharks
CNBC.
Blues game. Yeah,
interesting. NBC going all in for this NHL stuff, huh?
Yeah, it's on CSN in Canada, but CNBC here. The Flyers will be. That'll be Comcast Sportsnet here, but I think it's going to be the NBC Sports Network.
Nice.
The Rangers will be on the NHL Network.
Well done. And we're actually going to get off to a very quick break. We're going to come back. Our final predictions for the very first round. You're listening to The Blue Line right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Back after this.
If you have cancer, you know someone with cancer, or if you are a caregiver to someone with cancer, Clementine Cancer Support Group may be the place for you to come and share with others and learn how they are handling this life-changing experience. They meet the first Tuesday of each month at 10 a.m. and the third Tuesday of each month at 7 p.m. at the Laurel Hill Bible Church, located at 1260 Blackwood Clementine Road in Clementine, New Jersey. For more information, visit laurelhillbiblechurch.org or call the church office at 856-784-6200.
Sterling High School is currently seeking high school and college students with Red Cross lifeguard certifications who would be interested in working as a lifeguard this spring at Sterling North, also known as the former Voorhees YMCA. Students will be compensated at a rate of $10 an hour. Interested students should submit an application, which is available in the general office at Sterling High School during the hours of 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. or call 856-784-1287. That's 856-784-1287.
All right, welcome back to The Blue Line. Rob Strauss alongside John Flacco. Just a few minutes left here on the very first installment of The Blue Line right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. I'm going to get off to our picks real quick. We have about a couple minutes to go here, and then we're going to get to our picks, and then we'll sign off here. Let's look at the Western Conference matchups. Your Vancouver, L.A., who do you got?
I'm going Vancouver. I think they just have too much there. I'll take Vancouver in five.
Vancouver in five. I will go Vancouver in six on that one. I think LA has a chance to steal a couple, but I think Vancouver is just way too strong. St. Louis, San Jose, St. Louis Blues. Who do you got?
I'm going to go Blues in six. I think San Jose has had enough experience to keep this kind of close, but I think the goaltending at least rides the Blues in the first series here. Blues in six.
We are two for two. Right now on – I can't believe we agree on something. This is amazing.
That's the Western Conference.
It's a Western Conference. Phoenix, Chicago. This could go either way.
Yeah, as much as Phoenix has had a good year, it's a young, inexperienced team. I'm gonna say that Taze comes back is enough of a spark for them. And even though the goaltending is suspect, I'm going to say Blackhawks in seven.
A seven-game series. I like it. I will also take the Hawks on this one. Nashville, Detroit. I'm going to go right off the bat and say Nashville wins this in six games.
Six. Well, you know what? I've always been a fan of the Detroit Red Wings. Steve Iverson, one of my favorite players. But I think, like I said, that late season kind of stretch there has kind of toughened them up for the playoffs. I think they're ready to go. Howard's back. I'm going to take the Red Wings, and I'm going to take them at six.
Nice. All right. So We're kind of on the same page, but not really. All right, here we go. First round matchups, Eastern Conference. Rangers and Ottawa, who do you got?
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to take the Sens in
seven.
Oh,
my goodness.
I think they find a way to beat the Rangers.
No way. No chance for Ottawa. I'm going to say Rangers in five on this one. Boston, Washington.
Boston in five. I mean, I don't think Capitals have anything there to win.
I would like to see the Caps pull the upset here, but I just if they had Vokoun, I'd say the upset. But you're not going to have Vokoun. You're starting a rookie in net in the playoffs against the reigning Stanley Cup champions. Not so much. I'm going to go Boston in five. Florida and New Jersey.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Devils in five as well. Like you said, the stretch that Florida's come back into the playoffs, down the last two wins out of the last 10, that they're not ready to win.
My dark horse in the Eastern Conference this year, the New Jersey Devils, I'm going to take them in six. And finally, the last matchup, Flyers-Pens. You're going to go with your heart pick, or you're going to go with a...
Flyers in four.
Flyers in four. That's impressive.
Yeah, I can't. In good conscience, I can't predict any Pittsburgh wins. So I'm just gonna go. You know where my heart is. So I'm just gonna go Flyers in four.
I am gonna go Pittsburgh in seven. I'm gonna go Pittsburgh in seven. I wish this series could go 11 if they could. I think
Josh,
it's gonna be that.
Your hate for the Flyers.
I'm being a realist right here. I'm just being a realist. I just think that the scoring is just gonna be. You can only put so much on Brizgalov, and he has been playing well in this. The Flyers have been had such a great season despite all the injuries that we just talked about. I just think Pittsburgh is just too strong offensively. That's just my pick. Those are our picks for the first round matchups. We're going to be back next week for another installment of the Blue Line with Rob Strauss, myself, and John Flacco. We should be about halfway through the Eastern Conference and Western Conference matchups. It'll be very interesting to see how it turns out. Thanks for listening to The Blue Line, and you're listening to WSHS Sterling High School Radio. We'll see you next week on The Blue Line.
See you, everybody.